Blog Talk Radio.
On the East Coast, 3:02 p.m. on the West Coast. Today is July the 17th, 2021, and you're tuning into the TMZS, the Michael Gay Show. Happy Saturday, everyone. Hope you're enjoying your day here in the ATL. Well, we got on and on rain coming through the metropolitan area, and funny because, you know, one moment it's the sun's out, and then before you know it, boom, it's thunderstorm, and then all of a sudden, boom, the sun is back out. But that's the South. That's Georgia. That's the time. Again, thank you for joining us this Saturday. And I got a few topics I'm going to go over with some things that are happening in the news on this Saturday. I've found it interesting. There's some stories I came across, and I found them pretty interesting. Some really interesting stories regarding a person who is looking at 40 years in prison for illegally voting. An officer who is suing his own department. And I want to get into also the things that are going on with the Olympics. Do you know that the Olympics, let's see, what date will that be? Friday, July the 23rd, are the opening games. Opening games is next Friday. And the crazy thing about it, no one's going to be there. Oh, of course, the athletes will be. But no one's going to be there. No crowds. And I don't know if you guys have been paying attention. But, yeah, they're having a serious outbreak on the COVID virus in Japan. And a lot of people in Japan said, hey, cancel the games, cancel the games. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I think they were canceled once before. I think it was supposed to have been last year, I believe. I have to take a look at that. I believe that was the case.
And so they decided to go ahead and push it this year. But not only is the outbreak getting worse there, but the outbreak is getting worse here, where in California, a mask mandate has been put in place again out west. Wow. This is getting pretty interesting, because after summer, we're going to have the flu season will be approaching. And numbers of vaccinations are going down while this virus is going up. What's going on? That's a good question. What is going on? So anyway, back to the Olympic cell. Let me stick with that. This Friday, the coming Friday, the 23rd, and the Olympics will end on Sunday, August the 8th. Now, that is what of, not 8 weeks, I'm sorry. That's 4 weeks, right? Or is that eight? Four weeks? 8 weeks. 4 weeks, I believe. Yeah, not 8 weeks. 4 weeks of the game. All right, so here's the thing that is crazy, and this was posted about 7 hours ago. I'm just going to read this out real quick. First case of corona. Let me clear that out real quick. It's getting in my way here on my screen. Okay. First case of coronavirus at Olympic Village confirmed 6 days before opening ceremony. Here it says in Tokyo, the first positive coronavirus case inside the Olympic Village has been confirmed just 6 days before the opening ceremony, officials said Saturday, amid growing fears about the spread of virus during the game. Tokyo Olympics organizing committee officials declined to identify the person infected with the virus, but said the individual had traveled to Japan from overseas and was a games-concerned personnel. The person is quarantining in a hotel room, according to officials who confirmed the infection during a news conference. Thousands of athletes and journalists are arriving in Tokyo for the Games, set to begin July 23rd amid a state of emergency due to rising coronavirus cases in the country's capital. Japan has barred all spectators from Olympic events in and around Tokyo in an effort to curb the spread of the virus, but public support for the Games remains lukewarm. Now, I find that interesting that they say that it's lukewarm, because recently I saw where nobody, well, I won't say nobody, but quite a few folks I see say that they don't want the game. They don't want the game, from what I've seen on different news outlets. So far, 44 people affiliated with the games have tested positive for the coronavirus since the committee began tracking infections earlier this month. A member of a Nigerian delegation became the first Olympic visitor to be hospitalized with COVID-19, according to local media reports. Olympic officials Saturday that they are working to prevent any outbreaks. Those arriving from overseas are tested for the coronavirus before taking off and after landing in Tokyo International. Olympic Committee President Thomas Bach, who has been the subject of repeated criticism over the controversial pandemic games, this week promised that there is zero risk that the virus would spread through the Olympic Village or beyond, citing the fact that everyone who arrives in Japan is tested for it. Let's see, Bach on Saturday drew a fresh round of air and amid reports that the Tokyo Olympic Organizing Committee plans to host a welcome party for Bach on Sunday evening with 40 guests, including high-profile politicians. Critics responded online to reports of the welcome event by noting that the state of emergency urges members of the Japanese public not to gather in large numbers. Among those invited are Japanese Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga, Tokyo Olympic Organizing Committee President Seiko Hashimoto, and former Olympics Chief Yoshiro Mori, who resigned earlier this year over sexist remarks he made about women, according to a report Saturday by NHK. Meanwhile, local officials in Osaka said a Ugandan athlete who had gone missing from a training camp there left a note that he intended to stay in Japan. Meanwhile, local officials in Osaka said I already said that part, didn't I? Okay, let me keep scrolling down. Okay, so that's the end of that article. I've always looked forward to the Olympics. I've always looked forward to watching the games. I love the Olympic Games, you know, but this is going to be really weird this year. It's really going to be weird watching the games because, I don't know, it's just going to be like boring maybe, you know. Let me open up the mic here. Austin Crenshaw is in the house. What's going on, my brother Austin Crenshaw? What's going on this Saturday?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
All right, how you doing? I'm waiting for everybody else to show up. I haven't seen Janet said she's probably going to be a little late, I guess, and I haven't heard from you chiming, but I figure I'll just go ahead and get into one of these articles about the Olympics. What do you think about this Olympic fiasco? Because there's not going to be any fans, you know. I don't know. It's just going to seem odd. Do you think they should have gone on with it, or you think they should have canceled it?
Considering that the majority of them are coming from the athletes are coming from the United States, even though they're all around the world. I mean, the pandemic has shown a lot of things, and I think the health of those athletes for future competitions is probably better. So, you know, shutting it down right now, they can always bring it in later at an additional date, but a lot of people lost a lot of money because of it.
Right, right. And I think that was the thing is that there's so much money involved in it, you know, that they just couldn't let that go, you know. So, I just can't see them shutting it down at this point, right? Had it been early on. But then again, when you plan in the Olympics, you're planning it almost 4 years in advance. You know, they start building venues and everything, so money was being spent 3-4 years ago, correct?
Well, they'll make that money up for the things that they, you know, they built, because it's going to be just like it was here, you know, when the Olympics was here. A lot of things just kind of trended over and continued as businesses, you know, restaurants that they opened, venues that were set up for tourism. A lot of that's going to just continue on over. But they were really counting on the money from the tourism as well as the sponsorships for the majority of those athletes. A lot of those sponsorships have already lost money because of the owning.
Well, I'm kind of curious about that because, you know, there's not going to be any fans. You know, there's not going to be anybody in the venue. They're not letting anybody in. So look at all the money that they're losing for ticket sales. You know, they've already announced.
The venues set up strategically. So it's not like it was going to be a lot of people up in there at one time anyway, like a Super Bowl or anything. You know, you're going to have people scattered out and about and around, but each venue takes precedence on different days or, you know, during the week and different times. You know, they still could have they're still going to make money because it's people already there that's going to spend money in Japan, maybe not focused at the money they put into the arena. But they're still going to spend money in Japan.
I'm wondering.
You know, it's really doing is taking away the lipstick and eyeshadow. You know, it's taking the prettiness away of seeing the victories occur. That's all it's really doing.
Well. But just like you said, there's different events on different dates. But then a lot of times there's a lot of events going on at the same time, but at different venues, correct? Normally in the Olympics, you have some of the – usually in Olympics, you usually have like the – you know, they might have like the diving starts off first, you know, or something like that. You usually have some of the sports that a lot of people – I'm not really, really
into. I mean, that's just my opinion. You know, of course, track and field comes way towards, you know, down the line towards the end of the towards the end of the competition. They'll have soccer and stuff like that. But like I said, you know, those venues are spread out. I'm just curious of, you know, will the – I don't know if the athletes will be able to go out and about. I believe they have to stay within the Olympic Village because of the fact of the virus. Just like they did here for basketball, they have to stay, you know, at Walt Disney World within that bubble. You know, I wonder if they're going to have that same type of setup in a sense.
Well, it's going to be almost like, you know, counseling high school graduation because of the pandemic. You know, they can't go out and see Japan, you know, as an athlete or even as a tourist. They have to stay within the village. But you better believe they're going to be bringing some stuff to the village for them to buy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I don't know, but it's just going to feel strange, you know, to me to watch it, and it's just not going to be, because even now, it's not going to be, you know, the excitement of past games with the crowd and everything involved. It was just like basketball season this year. You didn't have the crowd, and then they started piping in the crowd noise, you know, stuff like that, and you knew that was fake.
Well, I watched the Olympics back when, you know, Carl Lewis, Michael Johnson, you know, those guys were running. And what was the guy's name from Canada that beat him? And then, you know, I've watched it periodically because my sister-in-law actually was supposed to go to the 96 Olympics with, what's little Minnie Mouse's name? The little bitty tiny girl, the great gymnast. She does those commercials now.
Biles?
I think of her name. Yeah.
Simone Biles?
Right. They were actually supposed to be in the Olympics together, but her parents said, you know, college comes first, so she had to scoot on off to college and stuff. But I don't even watch it the way I used to anymore because, to me, it's just – I don't get the same feeling from it as watching, you know, a Michael Johnson run, you know, or a Carl Lewis run. Even when FloJo and Gail Devers, now them girls had me in front of the TV because I ran track school with two sisters that were just, I mean, you talking about fine? They were fine, but they was fast too. You know,
why combination of both.
Wylene and Patricia Jackson, I'll never forget their name. They ran. Man, them girls could run.
That's funny that you said that because I remember a girl I went to school with. Her name was Sharon Stepp, and she could run. She could step. I mean, she was fast. You know, wow. So it's going to be interesting watching the game this year. Let me see. I just got a text here. All right, so that's time, and he should be dropping in at the moment. Okay, so let me see if I got him on the board yet, see what his thoughts are about this. He should be popping up in a moment. All right, so of all the Olympic, of all of the of course, everybody loves track and field, but outside of track and field, what is the other event that you look forward to seeing during the summer game?
I like the gymnastics part of it, the, you know, floor mats, the rings, the uneven bars, even some of the javelins and the pole vaulting. You know, I wasn't a big hurdle. You know, I didn't understand, I did because I ran, but to me it just didn't make sense in mid-stride to have to damn jump over something and still keep going, but them, you know, they do it. So I wasn't a big fan. Of course, you know, bobsledding, you know, because the speed that they get up to.
Well, that's winter. Yeah, of course, that's Winter Olympics.
Right.
But in Winter Olympics, I love the bobsled. I think in the Summer Games, everything that you just mentioned, of course, you know. But I started really like the swimming competitions, you know, because I mean that takes a lot of work, you know, with the different types of swimming styles, you know, the breaststroke, the butterfly, all that, you know, I find that pretty interesting, you know. So
it just wasn't Baywatch, so I couldn't get into it.
Let me open up Time and Mike because it wasn't a Baywatch. Welcome, Time and Ship. How you doing on this beautiful Saturday?
Man, it's hot. I'm driving all over town trying to find gluten-free dessert to go to a barbecue. And I'm in your hometown of Pasadena doing it. I just got them, and these are the most expensive gluten-free anything that anybody's ever seen. You know, it's crazy, man. So I'm on my way over to this barbecue. I was like, man, and this just for some cookies. I wish they'd been. I get a dozen cookies cost me $31 for gluten free.
I believe it.
And dude, I said, well, shoot, it was because it's at a bakery, and I didn't want to. You know, I didn't know if Ralph's or anybody had gluten free anything. And I got, you know, I'm running all over town. You know, so that's why I hadn't called in yet, because I was trying to get this stuff as I'm in your hometown right now of Pasadena.
Yeah, Pasadena is pretty costly. Right. In fact, I remember there was a place called Bubbles Bakery. My mom used to get a carrot cake. It was a three-layer carrot cake from them. I mean, it was the best, too. And I don't know how much it cost then, but I bet if they were still in business now, it probably cost a lot more than $30.
Specialty bakery, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's where I just came from. I said, man, y'all better go and enjoy them. Shoot, I had to put that on a card, man. Shoot, you messing up you taking my golf money, man. That's my golf money. I only get to play once a month.
Mm-hmm.
You know? His brother's talking about, man, yeah, can you bring some gluten-free I said, next time, I won't be going to no. But you could have went to Ralph. No, I could have just came to the barbecue.
And brought your hunger.
Why are you going to invite somebody to a barbecue and yet they got to bring dessert? Man, you better leave me alone.
Isn't dessert normally like a ice cream or a pie?
Yeah, but they wanted dessert. That's the type of dessert they wanted.
Well, wait a minute. Let me ask you a
question.
But they wanted gluten-free cookies. But what they cooking?
They cooking barbecue. I ain't never heard nobody worried about dessert going to a barbecue.
Right, but folks that I know that have, you know, deal with gluten-free products, they don't eat certain type of meats. Like, they don't eat pork, you know. They don't eat certain things. So are they barbecuing chicken, pork, everything? Because, what I mean?
They decided to have some people over, you know. So this one, all I need is a drink, man. Just leave me alone. It's hot, you know. And give me a drink. Let me sit in the corner.
Tell you, but I think they Muhammad Ali you. I think you got rope a dope. So you
I probably did, man. it definitely seemed like I got rope a dope. And so, you know, hey, man, who is this asshole that's gluten free? Yeah. I have been told, because that ain't just me. You just can't go find that. And then he goes, he don't act like, I said, oh, yeah, I ain't going to forget this one, homeboy. I got $47 on some cookies and whatnot. Who is this worried about? Probably one of his damn kids or something.
What you do is you stay until the barbecue is over to see if anybody ate any of those cookies that you bought or if they were
right
there.
Oh, he goes, hey, wait a minute. They small little cookies. It's only a dozen of them. And that dozen costs $31. They small little round cookies.
Oh, man.
The size of an Oreo?
Oh, hey. Yep. And they were $31. I went to a specialty bakery. So, hey, somebody going to enjoy some damn good cookies. I hope. And hey, I hope you weren't trying to fill an army because I didn't know who. I don't even know how many coming. And the other
that's
two,
damn near
the
three
others
is, that's damn near $3 a cookie. Two something a cookie.
Oh, yeah.
Dang on.
Yeah, because I went to a bakery. You know, because I didn't have time to, you know, just going to Ralph's. And, you know, everybody's talking about go to Ralph's. I'm driving across town. You're dealing with traffic. You're trying to get out of the Dina. You got to stop somewhere. You know what?
I hope. When you go to a party, and you always had that guy who would open up two and three beers and leave two of them half full.
Right. Right.
I hope you don't see a cookie bitten out of sitting on a napkin over on a table somewhere. A couple of cookies just sitting around for one bite.
I'm gonna leave the receipt. I'm gonna leave the receipt in the bag. He can take care of it himself. He can look at it. Oh damn, he's got $47. You goddamn right they did.
So let me ask you before I switch topics here. What's your thoughts on these Olympic games going on in Japan? You think they should have went on with it?
Well, no, because, I mean, you're going to do it, but, you know, you're getting what you're getting because the virus is so strong. I mean, they're getting their ass kicked over in Japan. Half of them haven't been vaccinated.
Right.
So you're taking a risk by going over there. Already one of the NBA ball players is under quarantine. I mean, the virus is serious, man. I don't know what people – I know people trying to make money and do certain things. But, you know, you got a lot of folks that don't want to follow the rules. They don't want to do what's right. And so you got a problem. And shoot, L.A. is losing. Man, you're talking about 1,000-something folks, man. They dropping. And 99% of them are folks who did not get vaccinated. 99% of the people going through all this do not get, they haven't been vaccinated. So I don't know what to tell them. I don't know, and the same thing in Japan. You know, now Africa, 1% have been, only 1% of their people, they're begging for vaccinations. But look at America.
Right.
America got more vaccine than they can do with, and they won't take it. But you got countries like Africa who needs it, or India, who's begging for vaccines. But yet they want to, it's amazing. Americans are, man, I'm telling you, the pandemic exposed how selfish and how rotten Americans are, man. They don't care. And they're ignorant. They're very ignorant people. You know, I won't even talk to them.
Speaking of the virus, let me take a look at this this article here. And this comes from NBC News. It says three fully vaccinated Texas Democrats in Washington, D.C. tested positive for COVID.
You can still test positive for COVID.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not going to put you in the hospital. You know, it's not going to kill you. You can get it.
Yeah. But this is what let me finish off a little bit of this article where, as I said, it says three fully vaccinated members of the Texas House delegation in Washington, D.C. tested positive for COVID-19, the state's House Democratic Caucus said Saturday. The first positive test result came Friday night when a member informed the caucus they had the coronavirus. Quote, caucus members and staff took a rapid test all of which were negative, the caucus said in a statement. But two additional fully vaccinated members reported positive test results Saturday morning. The names of the three people have not been released. The caucus said it will follow current guidelines from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention that state fully vaccinated individuals who are exposed to the virus do not need to take any extra precautions unless they start to show symptoms. The House Correct. Democratic Caucus is following all CDC guidelines and protocols, Chairman Chris Turner said in a statement. This is a sober reminder that COVID is still with us, and though vaccinations offer tremendous protection, we still must take necessary precautions. We are in touch with public health experts in Texas to provide additional guidance, he added. Our caucus will follow all recommendations from public health experts as we continue our work. Okay. So that's pretty interesting. That's pretty interesting that three of them, and they're fully vaccinated.
Right.
I'm sorry, I was just browsing through some more of this and see if I saw anything else that might need to be. Some of the delegation had meetings this week with Senator Joe Manchin, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, and Vice President Kamala Harris. It's not clear if any of the members who tested positive were in the meetings. Harris's office released a statement Saturday saying she and her staff, who are vaccinated, were not at risk of exposure because they were not in close contact with those who tested positive, and there was no need for them to be tested for quarantine. That's interesting. Fully vaccinated and still
right.
tested positive.
Well, yeah, and that's what I'm saying, Mike. They, you can still have, like, I tested positive, but I had no symptoms. I was asymptomatic, you know? So, yeah, you can still get it. I mean, you know, you could be, that's why they want people to get back. Your kids could get it because, you know, say you got a five-year-old, right, who can't be vaccinated, but yet he's got COVID. Say he's asymptomatic, and you didn't, and say you didn't get your vaccine. He could take that home to you and knock you out. That's how powerful it is. And that's what they're trying
right.
to explain to people. You know, hey, man, this is real. But y'all don't get it. Y'all think people playing games. They're putting out false information, you know, and they all want to go off on everybody yelling and screaming and, you know, Democrats this. But yet they're trying to, you know, The Republicans have jacked up and messed up so bad, they're trying to cover their tracks, and they can't cover the tracks. Because you, on one hand, you're trying to stop the voting thing going that's going on, and then also you don't want the insurrection. You don't want them to study the January 6th thing either, okay? And you're going to get your, when they get through digging, they're going to find out how you screwed up on COVID. Just like they lied about, you know, I don't know if you know this, but Donald Rumsfeld lived in the very house that Frederick Douglass was brutally beaten in, because that's where they would take slaves to be broken. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. And Rumsfeld just died last week, wasn't it?
Right. And he bought the house and lived in it, knowing the history behind it. If you go on YouTube and look up your girl, Rachel Maddow, she did the story on it. And I was sitting there going, where are you going with this? And then she brought it up and she said, and guess who bought the house? Donald Rumsfeld. Hey, and did you know that it was Rumsfeld that created aspartame that's in the sodas? Yeah, he was behind that. He was behind that too. That's why he pushed everything. And that's how people got addicted to all that sugar, you know. And when Michelle Obama came out and tried to have everybody eating better food, and the crazy white folks started talking about, oh, man, ain't nobody going to tell me how to feed my kid. Well, now what? I got a girl at my job now that aspartame tore her ass up drinking that damn Pepsi all the time. And she has, I can't believe it. Yeah, okay, now you're drinking water? Oh, baby, you're talking, I told her, shit, you're talking 20 years of damage to your kidneys and your liver drinking all that damn soda. That's why you're in pain all the time and all the aches.
It's funny that you said that because, or that you brought that up because I just pulled up this. I just typed in Donald Rumsfeld's home, and interesting, it says Donald Rumsfeld selling Maryland home known as, quote, Mount Misery, and he sells it for, well, he was selling it for $2.45
million. Mount Misery.
It says the sleepy town about 2.5 hours from Washington, D.C., offers a respite from the hurly-burly of political life for tourists and notable names alike. But this historic home from 1805 comes with a sinister past, way, way before Rumsfeld ever came on the scene. The property known as Mount Misery by 1833 was apparently the home of a farmer, Edward Covey, who also routinely took on the role of slave breaker. The New York Times reported as a side note to a travelodge on the town of St. Michael. According to the Times article, Colby got his hands on the rebellious Frederick Douglasses, who grew up in the area and went on to become a great abolitionist leader and statesman. Douglasses described the violent but formative experience in his book, My Bondage and My Freedom, writing, I shall never be able to narrate the mental experience through which it was my lot to pass during my stay at Covey's. I was completely wrecked, changed, and bewildered, gathered amongst two madness at one time, and at another, reconcealing of myself to my wretched condition. So, yeah, they're showing pictures of this house. And, wow, yeah, this is an old house. Wow, I didn't know that. I really didn't. So he got it for $1.5 million, and now they're asking for $2.45 million.
Right.
Interesting. That's crazy. All right, so let me go ahead and jump on to another topic. Just running through these real quick here, and here's something I found interesting, and I saw this on social media, and I pulled it up, and hold on a minute, let me open this up. I want to make sure I open the right article. Okay. In Syracuse, I believe it's New York, it says dozens walk in support for Officer Brandon Hanks in downtown Syracuse. Syracuse, New York. Members of the Syracuse community gathered today in downtown Syracuse to walk in support of Syracuse Police Officer Brandon Hanks. The walk was organized by Hanks' mother, Michelle Van Boston. Dozens of people attended with signs in support of the officer. In June, Hanks accused the police department of discrimination against him based on race and said of officers within the department were trying to destroy his career and keep him off the gang violence task force. Hanks has been on the force for 4 years, and he is currently the only black officer assigned to the gun violence suppression detail. Hanks is one of the most well-known officers on the force, gaining national attention for his basketball competitions against children in Syracuse. He awarded winners with free pairs of shoes. Hanks had just announced a basketball tournament before the claim was made against the police department. His mother was proud of the turnout Friday. Quote, it just shows everyone sees Brandon's heart the way I do, said his mother. Brandon has a humongous heart. He will give to anyone and anything, so for them not to appreciate it, it's kind of hard and hurtful. Let me find the actual article. So here's the thing about it. This officer was up for a promotion. And though he was up for a promotion, they accused him of being Well, he was accused in writing of being a drug dealer, okay, which I don't know how that was possible, of being a drug dealer. And also they said something about he listens to rap music. Now, he did a video, and there was some rap music playing in the background. And that was put into a writing. And I mean, they were doing anything to stop his promotion. Well, now he's actually suing the department. And let me see. I'm trying to find that part. I'm sorry. Wow. Where is it at? Okay. It says, Hanks is well known for now he is alleging his department is discriminating against him because of his race and a 40-page notice claim. It includes a memo. Scrolling through. Okay. Rochester criminal defense attorney Donald Thompson took a look at these allegations in the memo and says things that are in the memo that are allegedly complaints aren't those things you'd want to have if you were recruiting somebody to a gang task force. Thompson said, it sort of seems like he may have a case just because of how bizarrely this memo was written. In the expected lawsuit, Officer Hanks will ask for $33 million in damages and changes within the department. Under employment law, the employer does have certain rights and responsibilities, and in the police world, those rights and responsibilities are even more weighted in favor of the employer. A rather extraordinary response to a relatively minor issue, which would then suggest that there's another motivation for what has been going on. So what do you guys thought here? You know, this cat has never been in trouble. You know, and like there's a video, if you type him in on YouTube, there's a video that shows a clip of him playing basketball or get some kids in full uniform now. He's got his gun on him and everything, and he's taking him to the hoop. He's got some skills. And if they beat him, he will buy them a pair of shoes. And they showed a picture of him, and the pictures were done before the lawsuit. But he will buy the kids a pair of shoes. And he's helping the community, and now they're throwing dirt on him. Officer Crenshaw, you know, what's your thoughts about that? Have you ever known of anybody that would do that type of stuff for the community and then get thrown under the bus?
Yeah. They look at it, the department, they should be looking at it differently, but they look at it as if you get too friendly with citizens that you're supposed to be policing or patrolling for, then it's easier for you to become corrupt. But they run around and talk about building community policing. Well, how the hell are you supposed to do it if they don't want you to socialize and get known in the community? How are you supposed to do it? You know, I mean, the ones that they have go to the community meetings are people that sit up in the office all day. They're not the people. They're not the faces. When you call 911 and you need help, you know, or when somebody's being arrested, they're the ones that sit in the office all day long and armchair quarterback everything that you do based on what they used to do.
Right.
You know, if he had a reputation in the community, then they should have cheered him on for that. As far as saying the allegations, hell, you can be accused of damn near anything. If it's not proven, it should not stop you from being promoted.
True.
So he should get all that he's entitled to, and then some. Because the one thing that you came this earth with. The one thing you came here on this earth with was your name. That's the only thing you'll be able to leave here with is your name. And if it's smeared and smudged, you're screwed. Your legacy is your name.
Right.
People are looking on him saying, oh, that's that officer that they say was a drug dealer because he was real good with the community. His legacy's messed up, so he should get more than $33 million. He's been on the department for 4 years. What standards or regulations do they have in place before you can be promoted? Most departments, you know, before you can be transferred, you had to be somewhere 3 years. Before you could be promoted, you had to be on 5 years. And then you have to take exams for it. What standards do they have in place? He's been on 4 years, and you're telling him, oh, he can't go there? If he meets those qualifications, he should be able to.
Well,
you know, we're going to get off the city. What department was it?
This is in Syracuse, New York.
Okay, then let's get some crazy. We call him a 24. A 24 is a demented person. Let's get some 24 to go and accuse the chief of something that he didn't do and see how he likes it.
Well, I saw this article, like I said, at, you know, $33 million. I hope the brother get it. I hope he gets it, because that's pretty sad.
In today's world and environment, if he's doing things to build community relations with police, you can't build community relations with all police, but you can build it back up to where people trust the police. If he's doing things like that to where it's keeping the young kids from joining gangs, you know, or doing things that they shouldn't be doing, he should be commended for that. You have units in your department that the POW units, Police Athletic Leagues, that work with communities, but those are the kids that get to go there are either the ones whose parents can afford to drop them off, you know, or get them involved or enrolled in something like the YMCA. What about the kids whose parents are strung out on drugs and they're just hanging with the rest of the kids in the neighborhood? They need somebody to look up to as well, what he's doing. He's showing them all police aren't bad. And then give them something that they're probably not getting at home. I'll buy you a new pair of shoes. So they can feel good about themselves and their skills, their abilities.
Yeah, that's crazy. I just don't get it that they would put that type. But the thing that got me was the rap music thing. What does that have? And it wasn't like he was in his police car. And even though if he was, it didn't. It surely shouldn't have mattered. You know, he's on social media, and that tells you how far they're willing to go. They looked up on his social media to see what he's doing. And he's a civilian at that time, you know. He's not in uniform. He's not on duty. And they throw that in there to try to throw dirt on it.
Well, see, they have this standard to where you're guilty by association. If you're law enforcement, because the oath that you took, they don't want you to socialize with the same people that you police with, for when you're off duty. They only want you to do it when you're on duty. But yet and still, your community policing might bleed over into your off duty. If you got a child that trusts you, they might call you when you're at home with your family. You might have to get out of bed and go talk to them from doing something silly or hurting themselves or hurting someone else.
You know, you've got a point with that, because I remember when I was at Home Depot, and, of course, companies are like, they don't want anybody in management to hang around, you know, the associates, you know. I mean, not just store managers and system managers, but even department supervisors. They would say, hey, you can't be, you know, because we would go bowling or stuff like that and be like, no, you supervisors can't be out, you know, with the other employees. And I was like, well, that's pretty messed up there. You know, I couldn't understand that. And one manager assistant manager was leaving our store, and we didn't announce to everybody, but the ones that he really felt close with or whatever, we all went to dinner one night I think it was Ruby Tuesdays or something. And, oh, man, word got out. And the next day, the store manager called him into the office and chastised him for that. But he's leaving the store. You know what I mean? That's why we did that. He was leaving the store within a week. So what harm was that? You know, that's what I couldn't understand. It's like, it'd be different if it was like his birthday and he's staying there. But he's going to leave within a week, and we were just sending him off and having a dinner. But just like
well,
you said, they don't want
you
to.
That would be better. That would be better to go out and bowl and socialize with the people that you're asking to do certain tasks for you when you're at work, because you'll be able to get more done, versus going out and hobnobbing with the same people that management people that can't do anything for you are not going to do anything for you.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like if you show your people that you lead by example, you know, you're willing to hang and chill out with them and socialize with them and get to know them, because guess what? If this person all of a sudden start calling in from work all the time, you need to know what's going on. If they got a family, if they're going through a divorce, maybe they just lost a puppy, anything that they were close to, versus just writing them up and saying, okay, you're late, we're putting you on warning, you know, early warning system or whatever. You get to know your people so that they trust you and you trust them.
Right.
You know, there
right.
is no more of that. There's no more of that in the real world, in the military, in the police department. There is no more of that unity anymore, that camaraderie anymore.
Yeah, the only time they would allow us to be together is like if it was a company sponsored event, you know, the Christmas party or whatever, you know, that's the only time. Or if they had a cookout,
but they had,
you know.
They had a spy there watching you.
Right.
They had a spy there watching you to see who socialized them.
That's true. That's very
true.
Who
was two friends?
Simon, did you guys ever have events where, you know, did you guys ever have employee events like that, you know, where you guys would get together off the clock or whatever, or were you guys not allowed to, you know, socialize?
Oh,
with
I mean, but we did. We just didn't, all the supervisors who were dirty, we didn't invite them. But the ones who were cool, they got invited to certain things, you know. And,
right.
And when that camaraderie started to die down, you know, we'd have small little get-togethers, but we wouldn't invite those that sold us out, those that wasn't standing up for staff and everything and just, you know, selling staff out. We didn't invite them to anything. Even when they have a staff appreciation day, a lot of people won't go to them if there's certain supervisors are there. You know, we got guys, mm-hmm. but then you got those bachelors who will eat any damn thing. They, you know, they offer food. Ooh, man, they got food, man, they got food. And they go in and just eat. You know, and I
That's
told them, I said, man, we work 10 at night till 6 in the morning. And you eating all that? I said, bro, I'm telling you right now, you can't eat like that. But the women and the men be killing it at night, man. They be showing down. I said, bro, I'm telling you, from someone, I was like, they had some nacho night, nacho and taco night. I said, man,
mm-hmm.
I ain't eating that mess at 1:30 in the morning. Are you crazy? you won't get the kids. Nope, you will not get me. You
taco
and I have
nacho.
Eaten up there burping and belching all night and ended up with heartburn and, you know. And the girl came back, you sure you don't want that? Nah, I'm telling you, I don't.
Wow.
Good.
That's
good. Yeah, so, we did that.
Right. So I know I'm going through these topics quick, but we're getting to the top of the hour. I'm going to go ahead and jump into this one. Texas man who waited more than 6 hours to vote faces illegal voting. This is interesting. And you won't believe what he's looking at. A Texas man says he waited over 6 hours at a polling center in Houston to vote in Super Tuesday last year, all for it to blow up in his face. According to CNN, 62-year-old Hervis Earl Rogers was arrested and charged this week with two counts of illegal voting. A June 24th indictment from the Texas Attorney General's office alleges he voted in the 2020 March Democratic primary and 2018 November general and special elections, despite being on felony parole for a 25-year sentence for burglary. Rogers could face up to 40 years, count them, 40 years in prison over the two felony illegal voting charges, which is a felony in Texas. In the southern state, ex-felons are permitted to vote after completing both their sentences and all the terms of their supervised release. The American Civil Liberties Union of Texas, who is representing Rogers, told CNN that Rogers didn't know he was voting illegally. Quote, that's why he went and stood in line for almost 7 hours and spoke to CNN about it. He felt he was doing the right thing, ACLU Texas legal director Andre Sugaray told the network. Where's the evidence he knew or intended to vote illegally? Additionally, Sugaray said Rogers believed he was no longer on parole as of a few months ago. Attorney General Ken Paxton wants to create a narrative of widespread voter fraud. He don't think this is a case that should gotten to this point, he said. Rogers was reportedly arrested on Wednesday, July the 11th, and held at Montgomery County Jail. In a statement, the Bail Project said it had posted his $100,000 bail. That's crazy. I mean, 40 years. And the man is how old again? 62.
It ain't gonna. Well, they're gonna shoot. They're gonna try, but it ain't gonna happen. They're gonna try. I mean, because they're trying. They're trying to sell the big lie. They've been trying to sell this lie for so long, and it's not true. What they're finding out is, Mike, that if all Democratic people vote, Republicans would never win. That's all it is. That's why they're doing all this stuff. They would never win. You know, the average Democrat would go in and do. That's why they say, oh, well, we'll mail ours in. Most Republicans mail in. Democrats were the ones that were showing up to the polls. Because they believed in that. And when, when the thing with Trump happened and with the pandemic, Trump told everybody to show up, and the Democrats told everybody to mail theirs in, and he lost. The dude was an idiot. And they're still trying to sell you something that's not true. And it's amazing that so many people still believe in that. And that's, I tell you, man, it reminds me, Mike, of the Pet Rocks. It reminds me of the Pet Rocks. You remember the Pet Rocks?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Dude took a rock. Officer Grenso, you remember the Pet Rock?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Dude took a rock, put it in a box, and put instructions in that rock about how for you to take care of your rock. And he died a multimillionaire.
Yep.
And I've often said, you know, well, Mike, I'm gonna have to run, man. I'm gonna go in this barbecue, because I am here and fought through, and just wanted to holler at you guys. I got to get in here because it is 90-some-odd degrees. I'm out here in my car.
Okay, my brother. Appreciate you dropping in.
All right, Tommy.
Yeah. All right, man. Next time I'll be able to spend a little longer on the deal. Yeah.
No problem, man. Enjoy them cookies.
All right, yeah. I'm getting ready to show them in, and they can get mad all they want because they get asking for gluten-free.
All right, my brother.
You guys have a great weekend.
Blessing, man.
All right.
You
too.
All right, we'll see y'all. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks again to Time and Ship for joining us. Wow. $30 cookies. I wish I could just see one of them. Size of an Oreo. Mm-hmm.
I'm telling
That's
you, they Muhammad Ali him because the if you're barbecuing, the only person that's going to be eating cookies is the dog. I didn't want to say that because he spent $30 for the cookies, but the dog
right.
is going to eat the cookies, free cookies.
Right. I just can't see. Well, I mean, that's like
everybody
$2.
Else will be after the barbecue.
Right, but that's like $2.50. Let's see, he said a dozen cookies, it costs $30. Do the math here. Let's see. 12 cookies, that's about $2.50, right? About $2.50 a cookie.
They just told him gluten-free cookies. They didn't tell him how much to spend or how many to get. So
right,
if everybody
true.
Else is eating barbecue, who's going to be eating the cookies? The dog.
Wow, ain't no way I'll spend $30 on 12 cookies.
Well,
no
I hope
way.
He's still listening because what he needs to do is make sure he sits that box of cookies on the mantelpiece up to where the dog can't get to it.
Hopefully, they're not chocolate if the dog gets to it. But anyway, what's your thoughts though on this? Texas case, though, I mean, 40 years for voting, that's pretty deep. And then they had to bail him out for $100,000, and according to his lawyer, he should not have been arrested and charged in the first place, and certainly should not have been forced to languish in jail on an outrageously high bail amount. That's a lot of money. I mean, $100,000 for voting.
Well, how long did he spend in jail?
Let's see. The article doesn't say how long he stayed, actually. He was arrested July the 11th. Today is the 17th. And this article...
No, I'm saying his original sentence. Which made him a convicted felon, how long did he spend in prison? Because burglary, if they max you out, it's 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Now, they didn't go back into what his – well, they said what his crime was, but they didn't say how much time he did. They did say
right.
what his crime was,
said
but they don't say –
crime was burglary.
Mm-hmm.
His crime was burglary, so even if they ran all the sentences concurrent, if he got maxed at 20 years per burglary, say it was three of them,
okay,
he did 9 years. However many years he had left on that 20-year sentence would be his parole.
Yeah, it was 25 years. It was a 25-year sentence that he had. Yeah, according to the article, it says, despite being on felony parole for a 25-year sentence for burglary.
See, that's crazy. Right now, you know, as a convicted felon, you can get your record expunged if you haven't been in any trouble, if you did your time and all of that and finished your parole and all of that. If he had finished his parole and he was working with an attorney to get his voting rights back, you know,
mm-hmm.
because that's something they tell you when you become a convicted felon. You lose your rights. They're gone. Even when you finish your time,
mm-hmm.
and you get out and you finish your parole conviction, you lose your rights. You have to go back through the court and file to get those rights back. Now, I don't know what it is down in Texas, but, you know, it can't be too much different than where it's at everywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Now, I went to another article on him, and it says, according to his attorney from the American Civil Liberties Union of Texas, Rogers served the prison term of burglary, was paroled. Now, this throws me off here. It says he was paroled in 2004, worked and raised a family until his parole, quote, very lengthy under the barbaric judicial system of Texas, was discharged in June 2020.
Right.
Now, that's what it says here.
Right. That just means he is paroled. But he
right.
still has to go back to the courts and file to get his rights back. All that means is he finished his parole, which means if he got a speeding ticket, he wasn't in violation of parole and can't be put back into prison.
Mm-hmm.
So them arresting him for voter fraud or illegal voting really shouldn't have never happened. Finished his parole.
Okay. Looking
so
in the chat room,
you got to show me on the books the charge, the actual charge they charged him with.
Right.
And they can't make it up as they go. He's not in violation of parole. His parole is open.
Okay, so bring it, boys, in the chat.
What law did he violate? Huh?
Right. Well, they're saying that the thing is that they're saying that he was, according to this, they said him being a felon, then I'm not sure how like you said, I'm not sure how Texas works. But
he's a convicted felon. He has no rights. He can't vote
mm-hmm.
until he goes back to the court and applies to get his rights back. But
so,
what written law has he broken? I haven't heard of one that, you know, like it's theft by taking, it's theft by conversion. You know, even the little Hispanic man they had on TV the other day for getting the money out of the ATM machine, theft of lost or mislaid property. What's the actual charge that they charged him with? Because he's not in violation of parole. His parole is over.
No, it says while on parole. Texas man faces 40 years in prison for voting while on parole. So his parole wasn't over yet.
But I thought you
That's
said his parole was discharged in 2020.
He was discharged from the prison, but it didn't say that his parole was over. Let me go back
so
to that again.
Still
what? Right.
So if he was still on parole, he knew he couldn't vote.
Well, according to what he said, that he didn't know he was still on parole. Keep in mind, it says he was paroled in 2004.
Right.
Right. So we're talking about how many years ago? Let's see, we're talking about. You broke up. What did you say now?
Just say he had 10 years parole. 2014, his parole would be over.
Okay. I'm trying to see. So
they're saying he had 25 years of parole. His parole wouldn't be over until 2022.
Okay. Now I'm scrolling down through the story and trying to see if there's any more information regarding that. I don't see it in the story.
That's my point, Mike. How many years
mm-hmm.
did he spend in prison? Because if you get a 25-year sentence and you do 20 years and the board lets you out, you're on parole for the remaining 5 years.
Correct.
Was he in life for burglary?
Yeah, I think according to what this is saying is that it's just saying to me the way I'm seeing it is that where while he's on parole, he is not eligible to vote until his
right.
period of parole is over with. But then again,
right.
he said that he didn't know he was still on parole. Otherwise, he wouldn't have stood there in line for 6 hours. He wouldn't have voted two times. He wouldn't have voted in the primary or in the general.
Right, and that's my point. If he, just say he got 25 years to serve for burglary, and he did 10 years. His parole is for the remaining 15 years. His parole is not for the whole 25 years. Parole is for the remaining 15 years.
Right.
That's why they let put him on parole. So,
well, I'm like, I'm with Tommy, and I don't think that they're going to get away with that. I mean, I don't think they're going to be able to sentence him, no, 40 years.
No,
I
they're,
not,
think
they're,
so. Not.
I hope.
They're not.
They're not.
Because as soon as the lawyers start fighting and everything comes about, you know, it's no way you can tell me that if you give me 40 years in prison and I serve 20 years of it, still on parole for 40 years. Why? Because you let me out? No. I only got 20 years left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's like going to, where is it when you go, the title pawn place and pawn your car? You know? Why would I get out 10 years early and you basically still got control over me for the full 40 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there's
I don't
think if he did 20, he'd come out better doing 20 and being done.
Get it over with, right? That's true. Let me go ahead and real quick. I see in the chat room, Bring It Boy has chimed in. I've already read what you posted, Bring It Boy. He says, "Hell, you can vote if you're a felon. That's how Joe Biden won." No, that's not how Joe Biden won. It was already said how he won. People got out there and vote. That's all to it. They got out there and vote because they know they knew the other choice would have been who lost, right? So people came out in droves and voted. I'm sure a lot of folks who have never voted
all
before.
All I'm going to say to him is, bring it, boy. Bring it.
Yeah. Yeah, they all, Bring It Boy, they all came out. Now, speaking of that and voting, and looking at the way the land lays now with the upcoming election, we all know that Donald Trump rules the GOP now. He rules the party. All right. Now, we know next month he's not going to be reinstated, and I don't know why that lie is still going on, because there's nothing in the Constitution that says that a president can be reinstated. There's nothing in there that says that. But he is the front runner for 2024. Folks are looking at him coming back. What do you think the odds are, in all honesty, as time goes on? Because it's like he's not even thinking about the ongoing investigations or anything, you know, or is this a way of, well, maybe this will last long enough to where he can get in the White House and then they can't prosecute him again, you know, like they tried to before. I mean, what's really going on here? You know, I mean, it boggles the mind. What's his name? MacArthur, in the Senate? He just went down to, or he went over to his golf club and met with him the other day and claimed that they talked about this, that, and the other. And he's going to pick some people to be on this committee. What is his name? I can't think of it.
McCaffrey? I can't remember all.
Yeah. But anyway, I mean, it looks like that's going to be the front runner. Donald Trump again, and then the Florida governor Santos is in second place.
He's still going to have criminal charges pending on him, so all that's going to come out, you know, eventually at some point. What New York is trying to do to him,
mm-hmm.
So you know, just because it hasn't been said, don't mean it's gone away. You know, some people live on a motto, no news is good news. Well, no news is news to worry about sometimes because you don't know
true.
What they're thinking.
Or what they're planning, right?
Right.
That's very true. Definitely. Let's see. Bring It Boy says it's just people wishful thinking, but there isn't any constitutional precedent for reinstating or instating over election fraud. So where was the fraud, though? That's what I'm trying to understand with people. Everybody, all these folks are saying there's fraud, but your own party is saying, no, there wasn't. You know, I mean, talk about, you know, Edith Young. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like you calling say, for instance, you got a brother, right? And somebody messing with your brother, and you see it, but you don't take your brother's side. You take that other person's side, right? And that's what it
right.
seems like, if I'm making sense. That's what it seems like. It's like, wait a minute. You got Republican people in charge of the elections who said, no, we went over it. Here in Georgia, the same thing. We've gone over it. We counted. They're still counting. And they're saying, we don't see anything. It's not there. And these are folks who supported Donald Trump, voted for Donald Trump. Why would they allow the Democratic Party to win? I would think it would have been the other way around. They would have made sure that Donald Trump won. And I don't get it. I just don't get it. That's just like, it's just like the, what was that, that movie, was it called 12 Men Out, about the baseball, where they conspire to throw the game? I don't get it.
I mean, when you look at it, you know, it doesn't make any sense. It's just like Raffensperger here in Georgia.
Donald Trump
called him every name under the sun, a punk, everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even threatened his family. And now he's doing a Donald Trump to the head of the Voters Commission for Fulton County. He's just not calling his name, but he's basically saying everything was handled incorrectly. It took too long. You got too many complaints. We need to remove you.
Right. And then when you look at, and this is the only thing, you know, I ask these questions for folks that are, you know, Republican, but no one wants to give a sound answer. I mean, it was recorded where Donald Trump called Raffensperger and said, I need this. I need you to do this. I need these many votes. I mean, come on now. And this is no allegation. It was recorded. And that recording was not against the law, because if you read what it says, that recording was not against the law. This is a three-party conversation. Only one person has to be in agreement. Only one person in that conversation has to be in agreement to have that conversation with a third party. The third party don't have to know.
Well,
that
that's the thing.
Recorded.
The law is, if you call someone
mm-hmm.
and you're playing, recording them, you have to tell them that you're recording the conversation. But if
Correct.
You call someone and they're recording the conversation, they don't have to tell you jack.
Right.
That's why answering machines were invented. You're being recorded on the answering machine.
Exactly. I got this mic open, 909-732. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon.
Hello. Sarah, right?
Hello. Nope, Suzette.
Hello, how are you? Suzette. I'm sorry. I don't know. I knew it started with an F.
That was close. I was close. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for taking my call, and I hope to find you both. So you asked a question. You wondered how all of this could happen as far as people saying there's voter fraud, but you know, even GOP people had said yes, and even his, what was it, security, somebody in his administration that said it was a, you know, fair election, yada, yada. But then you have to see there's a difference between the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. The Republican Party is not one to stick together and to promote a single, you know, agenda or narrative to where they're all on the same page. I mean, they'll you know, basically chop somebody off in order if it's going to mean that they're going to benefit from it. They don't. They're not a collective, and that's unfortunate. And then you get, just like both parties have, establishment members of their party, and then you have the others or the rest. And when you have an establishment bunch, they want to protect themselves in that sense. So you'll have those that will side together, which there were rhinos and then that sided with the Democrats and worked collectively to try and oust Donald Trump or make known that he wasn't a good candidate or whatever. They just were, you know, basically dissing him and still to during his presidency. But as far as actual proof of voter fraud and the count of ballots, and you can only count them so many times, well, I agree. But then you have to think about when you count those ballots initially, how were they actually reviewed? Now, if you count a bunch of ballots that have doubles or triplicates or other maybe, you know, errors or discrepancies, of course, every time you count them, they're going to come up to the same number. But that doesn't mean that they're valid or correct. And so that's where the issue is. And now they're finding, and even back then when they were recounting just after the election, they were finding those discrepancies where they had actual people go before Congress of each of the states where they had these discrepancies. They had meetings, and you had the Congress of Arizona or whatever that met, and Michigan and all that. And you had people come and testify about what happened, what they witnessed, and what their role was in the election, whether it was a person that was a poll worker or one that came in afterwards to observe or whatever. And there were Democrat people, poll workers, and observers and others, as well as Republican, that were explaining what they had observed and why it was wrong. And so those were only viewed either on C-SPAN or you found them on YouTube here and there, but you wouldn't find them as far as the news reporting any of those. And if they did, it would be a clip or two, which goes to the clip or the conversation that you were talking about just before I came on. They can clip those things to and not play the entire thing. And so what they play may be what they said and recorded, and it was a recorded conversation, yes. So those were the actual people in the conversation that you were hearing. But they don't play the entire conversation because, yes, Donald Trump had appealed to that that person. But the rest of the conversation went so that we can find and make sure that there wasn't any voter fraud or to find voter fraud. And that was the reason. But they didn't play that part. So we have to be careful, or, you know, we should be careful with what we listen to and read. And I don't know. I like to listen to both. I'll go to NPR, to CNN, to Fox News, to One American News, in order to make sure that I'm getting the whole story, even on one issue in particular that one's playing on, seems to be playing and making a big deal out of.
Well, and then I want to know let me ask you, I'm sorry to interrupt, but you say you watched OAN?
Uh-huh, One American News.
Okay.
Because if there's a particular subject that's being, like, played over and over again, like the January 6th insurrection thing, so, you know, CNN, MSNBC, NBC, ABC, CBS are my local news channels, are saying one thing. Okay, cool. So then I want to see what other news stations are in contrast to that. So that would be Fox News, One American News, Epoch News, I don't know, the right side, to see what they're saying. Because if I'm not getting the whole conversation, and you know that you're not getting the whole conversation, you just have to assume because you have news that want to push aside, whether it's conservative or, you know, Democrat. Yeah,
I mean, Well, see, I watch, I mean, you know, some folks say, oh, you just watch CNN. No, I don't. I don't pay for cable just to watch one channel. You know, I don't do that. All right?
Right.
I have tried. I'm sorry to say, I've stomached OAN, you know, because it's one-sided. Of course. There's some, of course, there's some channels that like CNN, I'll say that they're very much Democratic-sided, but they do bring on people from the Republican Party and have conversations with them. I haven't seen one American News do it for a Democrat side yet. When I've tuned in, I haven't seen that yet.
Right.
But here's what I think is interesting. But here's what I think, because see, Fox was the one American News, but now Fox has been thrown on the bus. You know why? Because Donald Trump didn't like that fact that Fox was trying to be, actually, they were trying to be what they advertised, fair and balanced. That's what they're trying to be. That's what they were trying to be during this election. But let me ask you this here. What I pulled up a couple of things here. This article here that says there's accusations that 40,000 ballots were flown into Arizona and it was stuffed into the box and it came from the southeast part of the world, Asia. And what they're doing to find out whether there's bamboo in the paper. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that ballots were flown in from another country?
Well, I don't know. It sounds ridiculous. It sounds ridiculous, but, you know, anything's possible.
It does,
possible.
Doesn't it?
Yeah,
totally. It does sound ridiculous, but now have you heard anything where they say, aha, we told you, and they found it? Have you heard anything about bamboo ballots? Well,
if the article just came out, I wouldn't imagine so, but I imagine it'd be all over Twitter if it was true. But there's all kinds of different stories out there. But one that has, a couple of them that have been confirmed is in Arizona, and this one can be looked up. It's, they have it with their local police department. The warehouse, okay, so it's Arizona and Pennsylvania, but their warehouses where they kept the ballots and the machines and all the election stuff after the election was broken into, and that stuff was stolen. It's like, who would want to steal that stuff? That doesn't make any sense. And that was one of the locations, the districts that where they had huge discrepancies, or claiming, allegedly, that there were huge discrepancies, because I don't know, I can't say for sure. They allegedly. Same with Pennsylvania. I could understand, okay, if there was, like, stereo equipment or something in there like that, it was a, you know, easy lock, but election equipment, it doesn't make any sense. And it just so happened that they can confirm, you know, that there was security at that warehouse location where they kept everything. But then the security guards decided, theirs too, that they were going to take off for some reason. And they were gone for approximately, I don't know, 20 minutes or so, which I don't see how you can unload all that stuff out of there in 20 minutes. But nevertheless, that's the approximate time they decided to, you know, leave and then come back. And the equipment is gone. The same with Pennsylvania, you know. And then they have things where they can show where they're – now, it's not saying that the people who initially had posted their vote had anything to do with it as far as I went in, I voted, and that was it, I went home. Now, my ballot is left with the people there at the polls, and I'm assuming that they're doing the right thing with it, not that they're putting it in the pile – because of the way I voted, and are going to continue to put it through again, you know, maybe once or twice or three times, but that's what they're finding, and they can prove it with the ballots, you know, as far as here it is, here's another one, and they're all the same name, all the same address, and again, it's not saying that that person went in and voted three times, but that their ballot was processed two or three times, and so they're finding these things out, and there are discrepancies that are showing numbers, you know, significant enough that it may, affect the election. Now, as far as Fox News goes, Fox News on the election night had called a few states when it was 5% or 10% finished, and I even have a screenshot, because I was like, what in the world? They called those states already for Joe Biden, and so that's why Donald Trump was mad, because he's like, okay, so you're going to make us wait for these other states to come in, and so they're like, 85-95% in, but the ones for Joe Biden, you're calling at 5%. 5% of the people had voted in those states, and you're going to call it? That's why he's upset. But I'm not saying that's right, but, yeah, that's why they're upset. I don't like to get involved in all that drama. I just want to know, were they right? Show me the facts. If you can show me actually what it is that you're talking about, okay, cool. Because I don't want to hear, this is what they're saying, and they're going to put him in office in August and all that. It's like bullshit. There's no precedent for that. Get over it.
But here's the thing, and I believe I saw a text here. The movie was called Eight Men Out, 1919, White Sox. Okay, right. But now let's go back to this. But right, Fox News called it early. Donald Trump's mad about that. But that was his buddies. That was his channel. Now just imagine if CNN or MSNBC did it before Fox News. Oh, that would have been all hell there. And you see how everybody moved from Fox News now to OAN because now, oh, wait a minute, Fox is going against the president, going against Donald Trump. This was his station. He praised Fox. He would be on Fox all the time. But since they called it early, right? Okay, but whose fault is that? It's not the Democrats,
No,
I mean Fox News was always a GOP channel. So I just don't understand it. And then another thing I find interesting, McCain. Now she definitely believed that Donald Trump should have been impeached. And so what do? They take. They drop her down a notch, right? But Marjorie Taylor Greene has done so much more, and they have not chastised her one bit. I mean, I understand, you're gonna support your party, and you don't want no one downing the president. But still, and again, it's not right for her to down, especially the thing when she said about the Holocaust. I mean, come on. But they just talk to her. And if you know this, about Marjorie Taylor Greene. She owned a construction company. She didn't live in that district here in Georgia. She moved there, all right, because the person who was in that district wasn't going to run the next term. So that was her perfect opportunity to become a congresswoman. But don't you find that kind of interesting that here's McCain who, and not just her, because if you remember after the insurrection, which I still believe that that's exactly what it should be called, even Mitch McConnell said that the president is responsible for what happened. He stood there and said it. And then here now but we're not going to have we're not going to do any investigation. But why did you say? I mean, why? These are the questions I have for Republicans. What is it that is missing here?
Okay, I'll speak up for myself as a Republican. I can't speak for all Republicans, but. It goes back to what I was saying at the start as far as they don't stick together. They have their individuals and whatever they think is what they think. And I think that Mitch McConnell, he's got his own thing going. He's all in it for the politics and whatever's going to the best for him is, where he's going to go. Not saying he's right or wrong or whatever, but that's just Mitch McConnell. He's always been that way. He's been a dirty dog. What can I say? But as far as the people that had believed it was an insurrection and he should have been impeached, they didn't have all the facts. Things are coming out now that are talking about, there were, Capitol Police that were there that were involved and other agents that were involved and are listed on the indictment but haven't been charged with anything. The indictments that had charged the people that did get arrested and are sitting in jail. So as far as that goes, we're still learning more and more about that. People are really quick to rush to judgment as far as that goes. As far as Donald Trump inciting an insurrection, I don't believe that he did. just by his words. I mean, we have Maxine Waters, you know, that's, people always go back to her, but, you know, I mean, that was a primary example right there, you know, of inciting violence, you know, upon Trump supporters. But nobody talked to her, and nobody had censored her, as they say, and that they do to punish people who act improperly in Congress.
Well, it's no different than the president. I mean, he incited violence. I mean, he's the one who said, hey, you know, I will pay your court fees. I'd like to bust him in the head or sock him in the jaw. He said to the police, I noticed when you guys put him inside the car, don't be so gentle next time. I mean, come on. there's a whole reel of Donald Trump inciting violence. So, you know, I mean, it really makes no difference. Both of them are wrong. They're both wrong.
Sure.
But how did that one get the pass, but the other one doesn't? Let me read this real quick. Bringing It Boy puts, you are right. The Republicans buckle and say it was fair election. How is it that in 2012, former President Obama had 69 million votes, and this last election, Biden got 81. Well, you know what? I think that's really simple to answer, because I believe that all those votes for Biden, I believe a lot of them came from people who probably never voted before. Because Donald Trump had already served 4 years, and this country saw what Donald Trump was about for 4 years. Now, I'm not going to say Donald Trump was a horrible president as far as he didn't do anything right. Yeah, he did a few things here and there. But as I said, there were people who said, oh, no, I got to get out and vote. You know, we can't take a chance of this man being president for another 4 years. You know, I mean, a lot of the things that he changed and all the allegations. And name another president who has had so many. You know, his main thing was, I'm only going to have the best people, the best people. And look at all those best people who were indicted and put in jail. Has there ever been a president who had that many indictments within his administration or his staff? No. Not at all. That's the thing that boggles the mind.
Okay. So let's get back.
But let me get Crenshaw to chime in.
Okay.
Real quick. Crenshaw, do you have anything to say on that?
Oh, I'm getting educated. I'm listening to both of y'all, and I'm loving it. I don't know. I mean, Trump is he's selfish, and I think that's what brought him down, was being selfish, you know. If he probably wasn't as selfish as he was, he might have gotten reelected again. But
mm-hmm.
when you're getting it all already and you're not sharing, people get tired of standing in line and not receiving anything. And I think that's what pulled Trump down. But I'm
listening
to
the
two of y'all.
See, the thing is, in all honesty, I liked Donald Trump. I really didn't know the history of him I knew who he was. I mean, everybody knew who Donald Trump was, you know, when he was younger and everything, and he was, you know, New York tycoon and everything. But then when I started looking at the history with his casinos and his properties and the things with his dad and all that type of stuff, the racial thing that he did with his properties, which is proven because they did go to court. Right, and then the thing with the Central Park Five and everything and the ad he took out. You know, I started looking at him differently. I was like, whoa, wait a minute, this guy's really like that. And the show that he had, The Apprentice, when it first came on, yeah, I would watch some episodes. I mean, you see him at the start and you see him at the end. So I was like, okay, this is pretty cool. But when he got into politics and the way he went about it, and like Officer Crenshaw just said, had he not been so arrogant, you know, it, you know, the American public, at least people outside of the or who are not Republicans, probably wouldn't have been happy. Of course not, that he became president, because it's just like Bush, you know. Some of the decisions that the Bushes made were good, and some were bad. But when you have a president who is buddying up with two of our worst enemies, and then you down our allies, that throws a red flag. That really throws a red flag, you know. I mean, here you well. Putin says it wasn't Russia, and I don't see any reason that it would be. How the hell you stand up there and say that? You know, that threw me for a loop. You just became president. You had a little conversation with him, ask him about this. No, Russia would not do that. We do know who Putin is, right? KBG. Come on now. That just, as I said, that just boggles the mind. Go ahead.
Okay. I want to take it back to, and I'm going to address everything that you just said, but taking it back to the tone, when you have two people saying things, but one of them has a tone, if you watch the rally where Donald Trump was talking about covering, you know, the expenses, his lawyer costs or whatever, there was laughter afterwards. Even after when he had, I guess it was a baby up there at the stage or something, and he had made a comment. And there was laughter. He was laughing. It was a joke. But everything that he was said, the media took with it and ran with it as far as it was derogatory or mean or he meant it or whatever. But, it, you know, we say things in joking, and that doesn't make it right that he said those things, because he should have known better, being a presidential candidate. It's, you got to watch what you say. So, you know, I agree with you there as far as those things shouldn't have been said, but they were in jest. Rather than you have Maxine Waters yelling with a megaphone, you better get out there, and if you see a Trump supporter, you better blah, 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 make sure that they know that they are not wanted, that they are not wanted here, they need to get out, blah, blah, blah. And who's with that in anger to rile up a crowd? Now, Donald Trump may have riled up a crowd, but in laughter, because they knew he was joking, and he was laughing afterwards what he said. So there's two ways you can look at it. In either case, neither one of them should have said anything, but they did.
Susan, you're giving the man a pass, okay? I'm listening to you.
But you're giving Maxine Waters a pass.
But Maxine Waters, who is she? She's a politician in California. She is okay. She's in one state. What is the president? He is the leader of the free world. He should be more cautious of what he says to the free world. You don't see Maxine Waters on television every day. You saw her that time because of what she said. But Maxine Waters has no control of where you live. I guarantee you that. So what she said, as I said, two wrongs don't make a right, and what she said was wrong. But she doesn't have the weight that the president has. It's just like Barack Obama said. He said, had he said something like that, it would have been just ridiculous. But this is, and I can't agree with you that every time Donald Trump said something about violence, he was just saying it, you know, in a joking manner. If you go to YouTube right now, they got a whole reel of him saying things as far as, you know, harming somebody. You don't joke about harming somebody and you're the president of the United States, unless you're talking about harming an enemy.
Those are the only two that I get played, just like the same with Maxine Waters. But with her incident, because the Democrats listen to Democrats, Sarah Carter, who was the press secretary for the president, her and her family were accosted going to dinner, you know, and because they were listening. So they were told that they weren't welcome. They were chanting him down, you know. When was the last time you heard of a a restaurant owner or anything other establishment telling Democrats, you're not wanted here, get out, and start chanting them down to where they felt they had to leave. And, you know, because they wouldn't, the shouting
when was the last
stop.
Time you heard of, when was the last time you've heard of thousands of people going and attacking the Capitol and saying, hang Mike Pence? Hang Mike Pence. And have a noose out there. Have constructed one. This is the vice president, who is a Republican. When have
but
you heard of that?
I didn't tell them to do that.
Wait a minute. First of all, he said. No, wait a minute. But he said. But here's what he said. He didn't say, go down there and tear up the Capitol. He didn't say that. No, he said we are going to walk down to the Capitol. The key word is we. He didn't say I want you guys to. He said we, meaning you and I, are going to go to the Capitol. He didn't go there. He knew he wasn't. But those folks were like, yeah, let's go down there. But then they want to say it was Black Lives Matter. They want to say it was Antifa acting like Trump supporters. Come on. The thing is, I'm trying to understand. While Trump is doing this rally, so I'm supposed to believe that a bunch of Black Lives Matter and Antifa were waiting back in the wings, and they went in there and did that to the Capitol.
Well, I wouldn't say Black Lives Matter, and were Antifa members
there? No, I
didn't
say you.
The majority of them.
I said that, no, Black Lives Matter marched on the Capitol one time, and they had security up the yin-yang all over the steps. Black Lives Matter never even attempted to step foot on the steps. They just marched past and protested in front of it. They did not try to go in and beat up cops. They didn't do that. Okay? But here's the thing. But then here comes, what's his name, Clyde, who says that that day was like a normal tour. Is he serious?
Yeah, there were cops that were waving these people in. They were taking selfies with the – I have footage of people taking selfies with the police officers. There wasn't any damage done to any of the inside. Maybe Nancy Pelosi's office got a little turned up and one other representative got a little turned up. But other than that, nothing was burned, broken, you know, as far as –
There was feces on the floors. People had to clean that up. People were peeing and taking craps on the floors.
That's not true.
Okay.
Where did you
hear that? Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Where did you hear that or see it?
Look it up.
Okay.
Look it up.
No, you have to prove your case.
Look
I don't
up.
Have to look
I'm
it
good.
Up.
Look it up. I promise
Why,
you, you'll find it.
You should be able
no,
to.
No, just look it up.
And
then you said Nancy
about-
Pelosi's office was a little rattled. Did you see the pictures of her office? But it doesn't even matter. The thing is, what I'm saying is that where, so you're telling me that when those people went in and video shows, this was not a staged movie scene. It shows what those people did. An officer was killed. Others
no,
were injured.
No. There, you didn't hear the story about the officer. It turned out he did not die from being, they claimed or alleged that he was hit in the head with a fire extinguisher, which he may have been, but he died. The official story was he died from a heart attack, and it had nothing to do with the, you know, being hit or beaten or whatever. Anyway, so he did not die as a result of what had happened. The only person
okay,
that
so,
died
so,
was after.
All right, so let me ask you this. So this young man just all of a sudden had a heart attack that day.
Yeah.
It just
yeah.
happened. It just happened to happen that day at that point in time.
No. It was the next day, the following day. You look it up.
Oh, okay. Well, but still, okay, the following day. But he just happened to die in the hospital because he's in
yeah.
the hospital for what? What is he in there for?
For injury, I guess. There is no official story
right.
as far as
okay.
any type
well,
of injury.
Well, okay, right, for injury. And how did he get injured? Because of the attack. Now, what if there was no attack? Can you say that, well, he more than likely would have died the next day anyway?
Well, we don't know that. We don't know. So we can't, you know, automatically direct hate or, you know, whatever.
So the attack should have never happened, right? The attack should have never happened whatsoever.
Right. And
but so you're saying that the attack did not contribute to his death.
We don't know. As far as the official story is, no. But I don't know, and neither do you. And that's all I'm saying is that we have to keep an open mind on that and just let that one go until there is an official story, because we don't have one yet. I mean, I could get hit by a bus.
You know why we don't have one? Because they didn't want to do an investigation. That's why they didn't want to do an investigation until Pelosi said, "No, you know what? We're going to put together a committee." But the Senate did not want to do an investigation. Wouldn't you want to have an investigation to find out how that happened?
I'll tell you why they did not want that investigation done. Because we're already in the midst of investigations being done by the different committees in Congress and in the Senate, and there was an internal investigation going. Now, the committee that you're talking about that Nancy Pelosi wanted to put together was a special select committee, and if they would have voted yes on it, then she would have gotten to choose everybody that was going to be on that committee. How is that fair? You can't do that. You got to do a bipartisan thing to make sure that the investigation is fair. You can't choose everybody that you want to choose, and too bad for you. It has to be fair. And so that's why they didn't want the investigation or her to put the committee together for an investigation, because it was – in her resolution that she was going to have full control of the committee that was going to be doing the investigation. And you can't do that. In either case, if the shoe was on the other foot, the same thing. You got to have fair. And that, I mean, otherwise the people aren't fully represented. They wouldn't have been fully represented if she got to choose everybody.
Okay, so now they're going to put together a committee, right? And what's his name who just came from visiting Trump? I keep forgetting his last name. Not is it McCarthy? Okay.
McCarthy.
He's got to pick something on the post. He's dragging his feet. He hasn't picked anybody yet. Okay. He's got to pick some folks. I think Jim Jordan more than likely will be one. And then look at the history of Jim Jordan. Oh my goodness. He doesn't come squeaky clean. But the thing is that way. Okay. So he's dragging his feet. So now, right. So now the Democrats and the Republicans are able to pick someone to be on this committee. I doubt they'll have Gates, and I doubt that they'll have Marjorie Taylor Greene on it. I really doubt that, because that might cause a problem.
Think it would be a House committee that they're putting together, because everybody that you named so far are in the House and not in the Senate, so it would be a House committee then.
So, okay, right. Sorry.
Okay.
But still, I mean, I would think that you would want to have an investigation. By the way, if there was a way to work it out, I mean, I would have not just said no.
You're
I would have tried to figure out a way to have an investigation, because I think it's only right to do so for the families and for the individuals who protect everybody there. And like I said, that dude Clyde, who sat up there and said that this was just a normal walk in the park, you know, or a normal visit to the Capitol, and there was nothing wrong and this and that and the other, that is a bold-faced lie. The pictures and the videos show. Hey, you guys, the time is now 7:54. I didn't realize the time was going by so fast. But go ahead and I'm going to give you a minute real quick, and then I'm going to switch over to Crenshaw, and we're going to get up out of here. Go ahead now.
Thank you so much. I agree with you that there should be a full investigation, but I also agree why McCarthy may be stalling is because the everything hasn't come out yet as far as the other investigations involving Capitol Police and other agencies. So once we get the scoop on all of that, then they can have their own investigation to dispute it or see if there's anything further that needs to be looked at. Until then, I can see why he's dragging his feet on that. As far as the president and his arrogance and race, there were lots of several different things that weren't reported in the news about Donald Trump, you know, helping certain groups of people or just people, individuals themselves, it didn't matter what race they were, where he wrote big checks to those families to help them out for various things or let them stay at Trump Towers indefinitely if they wanted to. As far as Russia, Putin goes, and you have North Korea, Kim Jong-un, For me, I think you get more with honey than you do with vinegar, and why piss off your enemies when you can actually talk to them so you know what they're doing and what's up? You want to keep your enemies closer. As far as allies go, they were going far too long without paying their due share, and America was being suckered into paying for everything while helping their countries out, and they didn't want to do anything for themselves. They were keeping their money in their pockets while they were taking our money for federal aid or NATO, their paid balance for that. So that's all he did was call them out on that. And so if you want to say that that's dissing our allies, well, I think then you're saying basically we should continue to be suckered by them. Anyway, so thank you for taking my call, and have a wonderful
week.
Thank
you for calling. We appreciate you. Anytime.
Thank you
very much. Jeff Prinshaw, Officer Prinshaw, I'm going to go ahead and let you chime in, and what's your final thought?
Y'all been great. I've been listening to y'all. I don't have nothing to say. Y'all been great.
Yeah, I like what you called it. It's interesting, you know, because it's a lot of questions and answers, you know, and I appreciate it. I really do.
You know, even though it seems like debates, it's educational because you get to learn sides of things that you wouldn't normally look at or listen to. So I love it when she calls in because, I'm an old man, so school is very close to me. I love learning.
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay, now the time is now 7:57. It's about time for us to get out of here, you guys, and I appreciate you all calling in. Check us out next week. Not sure what we got planned for next week, but it's coming up. In fact, Denise Wilkerson will be coming through from the legendary Ladies of the Sky, so I'm glad to let you all know that. And enjoy the rest of your week. As I'm looking here for something to close out the show with, because I can't find my theme here, but I'm going to go ahead and play this as we leave. He was our guest last week, Mr. Ellison Kendrick. Really enjoyed the conversation with him. So, as I said, enjoy the rest of your weekend, the rest of the week coming up. See you next Saturday. Thanks again to Bringing It Boy and to Susan for calling in. And we'll talk to you next Saturday. God bless. Peace. Good night.
It's gonna be one of those nights. I think we're gonna have some fun. Come and go with me somewhere where you will be my only one. Ooh, it's gonna be a beautiful thing. It's gonna be like your dream. Let's make this a night you remember. It ain't over till the fat girl sings. You can put some rings on, get your makeup and your hair done, slip that sexy dress on, and make our tunes repeat the song. You can paint your nails too, but don't forget your dancing shoes. Can't wait to get you in my car. Well, you know I'm gonna rock you. When we step up in the club and everybody's staring at you, I know I got your attention, cause I got on my black suit. No standing on the wall, I don't care at all. I got you in the mood, cause I got on my black suit.